Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos daf Yud Gimel. We left off on daf Yud Beis and Beis Tayshir, sponsored by Dr. David Lander and his wife and children. And that's it. So we thank Dr. Lander very much for the continued sponsorship. Today we're going to continue first the discussion of the Shlosh Anoshim Mishamshos B'moch. We said that was a raya to the idea that a woman can possibly be a katana and still have a child, and that seemed to go against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that it's not shaykh to talk about mima enes if the woman was a mother-in-law or if the woman was a mother, because how could she be a katana who is able to be mima enes if she's a mother-in-law or a mother? The katana is unable to have children. So the Gemara is going to continue that discussion about what exactly a katana is able to do in terms of childbirth, is physically able to do in terms of childbirth, and what a katana is not able to do. Then the Gemara is going to go through two different opinions of what the basis of the Ptur of Tsaras Tsara is. The Mishnah had mentioned that Tsaras Tsara is also Pater. So where do we learn that from? We're going to have then the Gemara is going to discuss that a katana that's an erva does not do miyun to be matir yibum to the tsara, because that looks like a tsaras erva. So we're not going to allow a katana who is an erva to do miyun on the yavam in order to create a situation where they could then do proper yibum, because it's going to appear to be a situation of tsaras erva. And then we're finally going to get to the second Mishnah in the Masechta. On the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mishnah is going to tell us about six arayos that are chamuros me'elu. We referred to this Mishnah several times already. It's going to talk about six other arayos where the tsarosehen are going to be mutter. And then we're going to mention the shita of the Beis Shammai, that an erva does not pater tsarosehen. That up until now we've been assuming the shita of the Beis Hillel, that an erva paters not only yourself but a tsara also. Beis Shammai shita is going to be that an erva does not pater a tzara. The Gemara is going to give two different reasons for the shita of the Beis Shammai as to why an erva paters a tzara. The Gemara is going to tell us that even though a yavama is an isra lav l'shuk, her kiddushin is not going to be tovsin. And then the Gemara is going to talk about how Beis Hillel does not require chalitza even midrabanan for a tzaras erva, and that's against the shita of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to begin the discussion of losis go to do that within a single community. You shouldn't have multiple different behaviors going on at the same time. So Gemara is going to talk about what the limitations of that are. What kinds of behaviors are subject to losis go to do? Is it different minhagim that you shouldn't have going on at the same time? Different piske halacha that you shouldn't have going on at the same time? So that's going to appear at the end of the daf. So let's begin. We left off yesterday on daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we are up to Eini, toward the end of the page. We got pretty close, so we're up to Eini. The Gemara had just said that when we said that a katana could be mishamish b'moch, that a katana is allowed to use birth control, and we said that because the reason she's allowed to do that is the concern is shemetis aber vitamos. The Gemara thought that meant that if she becomes pregnant, she only then might die, but not that necessarily she will die. That there's still a possibility that she'll carry a baby to full term. So the Gemara said, well, that's against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that it's impossible for a woman to do miyun, meaning to still be a katana and yet also be a mother. That it's impossible for it to ever happen. So what we left off with yesterday was we said the Gemara gave an answer. No, ema shemet tisaber vitamus. Not that she might become pregnant, and if she does become pregnant, she might die. That she might become pregnant, if she becomes pregnant, she will die. So it's not a maybe, it's a definite that she's going to be tamus, that she's going to die. And that's why that Rabbi Levi taught us that there is a gvul, that prior to the age of 11 years old, she's not going to become pregnant anyway. Between 11 and 12, she might become pregnant. If she does, she's going to die, and the child's going to die also. And then after the age of 12, then she's able to carry a pregnancy to full term. She'll live and the child will live as well. So ask the Gemara, Eini, is this really so? V'atani Rab Bar Shmuel, yata yachalomer b'chamoso, ve'im chamoso ve'im chamiv, shenimtzu aylinis o shemiyanu, shekvar yoldu, that it's impossible to have a case of someone who is already a mother that also was found to be an aylinis. Certainly that would never happen, because an aylinis by definition is not able to have children, and it's impossible to have a case of someone who's already a mother that's able to do miyun, because if she gave birth, then obviously she's not a katana. So it sounds like up until she has shtei saros, she's still a katana, and nevertheless she's able to give birth and to live. It's only because she gave birth, it can't be that she's able to do the miyun. But if you say like Rabbi Bar Levi that a katana is not able to give birth at all, the Braisa should have said that the reason we don't find chamosa mima enes is because by definition she's already higdila, she's already a gedola already. So says the Gemara, really based on this Braisa, the Gemara goes back and explains the Mishnah in a different way. Eloli olam shema tisaber v'shema tomuz. Maybe in a chinami we got the Braisa, we understood it right the first time, that the concern is that she, a katana, might become pregnant, and even if she does become pregnant, it only might be that tamus, it might be that she'll die. El dekasha hach, but we said that, what are you going to do with our Mishnah? It says yata yachalomer b'chamoso shemiena, that it's impossible for someone who's a mother-in-law to do miyun, because how could she have ever become a mother-in-law if she's only a child, if she's still a katana? So amar Rav Safra banim harehem kisimanim, that when one has children, those are the greatest simanim of gadlus, that is the same as simane gadlus, meaning just like shtei sa'aros indicate that she's no longer a katana, that she's now a gadola, so too, even if she's less than 12 years and a day old, if she becomes pregnant to a and gives birth to a ben kayama, that's just as good as having shtei sa'aros, and it's as if she had shtei sa'aros in her 13th year of life, and she becomes a gadola legabe every halacha from the moment she becomes pregnant. So because of that, Eim Chamos, even if the mother-in-law happens to be very young, she may be only 11 years old, but by virtue of the fact that she's given birth, she has the halachic status of a gedola, and that's why she can't do miyun. That's why we say you can never have a case of a mother-in-law doing miyun, not because you can never have a case of a child giving birth, but you can never have a case of a child giving birth and still be kosher to do miyun. She's not going to be kosher to do miyun anymore because she's going to be considered a gedola no matter how young she is. So when Rabbi Bar Levi said that if she gets pregnant betoch hazman hazeh, she's going to die and the fetus is going to die, he doesn't mean dafka from the age of 11 to the age of 12. He means toch hazman, the year before she becomes a gedola. When does she become a gedola? For different girls, it might happen at different times. And if she's able to carry a pregnancy, that will be an indication that she's a gedola at that time. So in the year prior to when she could have been able to carry a pregnancy, that's when she for sure would have died had she tried to get pregnant. The Ista Amri, and some say the same idea, but even stronger, that banim adifi misimanim, that not only is having children the equivalent of having simane gadlus, it is even stronger than simane gadlus. So the Mainav Kamina, what difference does it make whether you call it the same as simane gadlus or you call it stronger than simane gadlus? Da'afilu Rabbi Yehuda, because even according to Rabbi Yehuda, even according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, Maseches Nida, Da Amar, who says that someone who's niskatcha b'katnusa, someone who gets married when she's a katana, could be mimayin even after she becomes a gedola, and she then has shtei saros, it's ad sheyarba ashachar, Rabbi Yehuda says, up until the age where she has a lot of hairs, more than shtei saros, where there's more hairs than not hairs, b'banim modeh. He'll agree that if she already had banim, then it's already too late to do miyun. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda holds that being a gedola does not disqualify a woman from being able to do miyun. If she had kiddushei katana, a kiddushin midraban, when she was a katana, she's still eligible for miyun until she's really a gedola, until she's beyond being a gedola, until she's yarba shachar, that she has more, she has a significant amount of hair. So Rabbi Yehuda would say, lav dafka, a significant amount of hair. Having a child is the equivalent of a significant amount of hair. So it's better than having shtei sa'aros. It's stronger than having shtei sa'aros. It would disqualify her from doing miyun. Rav Zvid Amar, the Gemara brings another shita. Rav Zvid says that ein banim below simanim, that really having children on their own is not a simon of gadlus, but nevertheless, we know that if she had children, then there must have been simanim. So it's not that the banim are a replacement of simanim, the equivalent of simanim, stronger than simanim. No, they're a sign that there obviously were simanim. So it says, v'nivdok, why don't you just check if there are simanim? What do you mean that it's a sign that there were simanim? Just look, see if there are shtei saros. So cheshin and shamanash, because we're choshesh, that maybe there were simanim at some point, but maybe they've become, maybe they've fallen out. So therefore, the fact that she has a child is a strong indication that she also had simanei gadlus. So the Gemara asks, well, wait a second, that chashash of maybe those the hairs fell out is subject to machlokas in Maseches Nida. The Mishnah Maseches Nida Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph tells us that if you have a 12-year-old girl that they check and they don't find any simanim, so the Gemara over there says rather that Rav Papa says we're not choshesh that maybe there were simanim and nashru and they fell out. She's a katana, and Rav Papi says that we are choshesh that they that she had simanim and they fell out because she's already higiel chlal shanim. So once she's old enough, you have to be choshesh that there were simanim as well and they fell out. So isn't this hanich leman yom choshen? If you say that you're choshesh for hairs that were there that have fallen out, so then I understand very well. That's exactly what we're saying. That if she has a baby, you have to assume that there were simanim there and that they fell out. Leman yom rein choshen, but if you hold that you're generally not choshesh for such thing, ma'ikel lemeimar. Then why all of a sudden when she has a baby are we all of a sudden choshesh that she had simanim and they fell out? So it says more. I feel leman yom rein choshen mishum tzalei dechashinan. Even though we're not going to be choshesh in general that a regular girl who's 12 years old that doesn't have simanim, we're not choshesh. Oh, she had and we just didn't see them. But if she went through a trauma of tzar leida, so that's a good indication that probably she had simanim and they fell out. So even the shita that's not generally concerned that she had simanim that have fallen out will say that if a woman had a baby, if a girl had a baby, then we are choshesh that she had simanim and they fell out. Then the Mishnah told us, going weiter in the Mishnah, it said, Ketzad Potros Tzorosehen. So the Mishnah said that if, let's say, one of the Arayos, let's say one's daughter was married to his brother, and the brother also had another wife, and then the brother died. Just like the daughter's pater from Yibum, so too the tzara of the daughter is pater from Yibum, right? That's the erva. Not only is the erva not to Yibum, the tzara of the erva doesn't do Yibum either. Then the Mishnah went on to say, and if that tzara of his daughter went and married another brother, and that other brother also had other wives, just like Tzara's Bito is Pater from Yibum in the future, if that next brother died, so too Tzara's Tzara is Petura. Any of the wives of that other brother are also going to be Pater from Yibum. So we had back in Daf Gimel and Beis that the Makar of the Petur for a Tzara is because it says, Isha elachosa lo tikach letzrar legalus ervasa aleha b'chayeha. So we learned Gzereshava from Aleha that it says in Yibum, Yevama Yavo Aleha, that the Allah that it says Be'achosi to the Allah that it says Be'achosisha that applies B'makom Yibum. So from the fact that it says Lutzrar Legabe that Isser, we learn that the Pasuk is telling us that the Tzara is Pater from Yibum as well. So that was the Limud to tell me that a Tzara is Pater. So Frakta Gemara Minani Mili, how do I know a Tzara's Tzara is Pater? That a second level Tzara is going to be Pater as well? Two possibilities. Amr Rav Yudah da Amr Kra Litzrar. It doesn't say Tzor, it says litzrar, an extra reish. Hatorah ribsa tzaros harbe, and that tells me that even a tzaras tzara is part of Yibum. Ravashi Amar, a second possibility. Litzrar asers a tzara, I don't need a separate drasha to aser tzaras tzara. Svarahi, it's a simple svara. Tzara, my time asira. Why is it that a tzara doesn't do Yibum? It's because in makom erva kaima, she's b'makom, she is standing in place of the erva herself. And she becomes as aser as the erva. So you see that a tzara equals whatever all the other wives are. So if one of the wives is this guy's daughter, all of the wives take on the status of this guy's daughter. So the tzara is b'makom erva, and therefore tzara tzara not b'makom erva kaima. So in the future marriage, the tzara's tzara is also going to be like the tzara, because all of the co-wives are put in the same boat. They're all considered to be in the same category. And that's the basis. It's not a pasuk. It's a svara that tells me that tzara's tzara is going to be part from Yibum. So that's that line in the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah went on to say, you often have this right before the next Mishnah, even though it took like for one line in the Mishnah, we go on for like a plot, but right before the next Mishnah, we quickly go one line after the next to explain the previous Mishnah. So then the Mishnah went on to say, Ketzad imesum Hain that Torah said mutaros. So we gave a case in the Mishnah that if the guy's daughter or any of the other arayos that are mentioned in the Mishnah that are married to his brother, and there is another wife as well, the brother has another wife as well, and then the daughter dies, or the daughter becomes divorced from the brother, and then the brother dies, then there is Yibum on the Tzara. So if you have Reuven and Shimon, Reuven's daughter is married to Shimon, Shimon's also married to three other women, let's say. Shimon divorces Reuven's daughter, and then Shimon dies, then Reuven does do Yibum on the Tzaros. He does do Yibum on the brother's, one of the brother's wives, because his daughter is no longer one of the brother's wives. So the Gemara discusses if the Tzara will be mutter even when if she was married to the brother while the brother was married to the Erva. So the Gemara is medayik from the fact that it says, V'lo isha acheres, Umesabito, the Mishnah said that Shimon was married to another woman and then Reuven's daughter died. It sounds like Shimon was married to the other woman before Reuven's daughter died. And it sounds like no matter when he divorces Reuven's daughter, the Reuven's going to be able to do Yibum and the other wives. Vafilu kanas ulbasov girish. Even if he marries the Tzara, if Shimon marries the Tzara and only then divorces Reuven's daughter. So frankly, Gemara Baruch Min, who I'll ask you a stira, because we're going to have a Mishnah on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph that tells us the following: Shlosha achim. If you have three brothers, shnayim mehen usum shayachios. Two of them are married to two sisters, ve'echad nasui nachris, and one of the brothers is married to a woman who's not related. Girish echem bali achios ishto, one of the husbands of one of the sisters divorces his wife, umeis hanasui nachris, and then the one who is married to an unrelated woman dies without any children, uknasa, and the second brother, hamagarish, the second brother who divorced one of the sisters now marries. Now does Yibum on the deceased brother's wife, Umeis, and then he also dies without any children. So now the third brother, the only surviving brother, who is also married to one of the sisters, will do Yibum on that Nachris who falls to Yibum because the second brother died. Because she was never Tzaras Achos Ishto. Why was she never Tzaras Achos Ishto? Because before his brother had married her, his brother had already divorced the wife of the third brother. And that's what we say, that if they die, if the arayos die, or they are niskarish, then the tzaros are mutter. So says the Gemara, let's make a diuk. Taima de girish v'achar kach konas. The only reason the tzaros is mutter to the husband of the sister is because he divorced the husband of the second sister, divorced her, and only then took in the nachris, only then married the wife of the third sister, only then did Yibum on third sister, so it was never really a tzara to his wife's sister, meaning the woman he's about to do Yibum on, it was never a tzara to his wife's sister. So again, just to be clear, you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. Levi's married to somebody else, right? Shimon divorces his wife, and then after Shimon divorces his wife, Levi dies, and Shimon marries Levi's wife. Now Shimon dies, so Reuven could do Yibum on that woman who was originally Levi's wife, then became Shimon's wife, and now Reuven's going to do Yibum on her as well. Why is Reuven going to do Yibum on her as well? Because she was never married to Shimon at the same time that Shimon was married to Reuven's wife's sister, to the sister of Reuven's wife, to an erva, to Reuven. Aval, kanas v'charkach kiresh. But had Shimon done Yibum before he divorced the sister, before he divorced his original wife, who was the sister of Reuven's wife, then lo, then apparently Reuven would not be able to do Yibum. Apparently that is considered a Tzaras Erva. There's our stira. Does the Petur of Tzaras Erva only work when there were never... Does the Petur of Tzaras Erva... Does the idea that if the man was Megaresh, the Erva, then there's no Petur of Tzaras Erva apply only if he was Megaresh her before he took in the Erva? Or does it even apply if he's Megaresh her after he took in the Erva? It seems to be a stira. Some Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Tavra, you have to break up these two Mishnayos from each other. Misha Shalazo, Lo Shalazo. Whoever taught one Mishnah didn't teach the other. Meaning, Ein Hachinami. It's a stira. It's not what we, you know, there are two words in Hebrew. There's a word stira, and there's another word called machlokas. Not a stira, it's a machlokas. Machlokas between two Mishnayos. Hi, Tana, the Tana that allows the Tzara even before he married her, and then even in a case where he married the woman first and then divorced the Ereva, Savra Misa Mapelis holds that the death of the husband is what creates the Yibum situation. And since at the time of Misa, they were not tsaros to each other, so at the time of the Nefila, it's not a tsaros Ereva. The Haitana, and the one that it does not matter the tsara unless he had divorced the Ereva prior to ever marrying the tsara, Savra Nisun Arishonim Mapilim, holds that the very fact that she was married to that husband is what creates the chiv of yibum when he dies. And if she became a tsaris erva on the yavam at that time, she's asura forever, even if subsequently the brother had divorced the erva. Rava Amar Rava gives a different approach. The Olam, really, it's not a machlokas between the mishnayos. Chatanahu, it's one tana that taught both mishnayos. He's just building up the level of chiddush. He's saying the greater chiddush first, and then saying a lesser chiddush as well. That even if he married the tzara and then divorced the wife, the tzara is going to be mutter, like it says in our mishnah. And obviously, therefore, if he divorces the wife and then he marries the tzara, then obviously, for sure, the tzara is going to be mutter because she was never even married to the same husband at the same time as the Erva. So it's a Zovein, Tzarech Lomar, Zokatani, but really, really the halach is that it doesn't matter which one happened first. The Tzara's era, as long as by the time the most recent brother died, he was no longer married to the Erva of the surviving brother is going to do Yibum on the Tzara. So at the end of the day, Reuven and Shimon are brothers. If by the time Shimon dies, he's no longer married to Reuven's Erva, I don't care when he got married to the Erva, when he divorced the Erva. If by the time Shimon dies, he's no longer married to Reuven's Erva, Reuven could do Yibum on Shimon's other wives. That's how Rava understands that it's not subject to machlokas at all. It's all one opinion. Good. Then the Mishnah went on to say, "V'kol sheyichalu l'ma'ein," that if a woman had the ability to do miyun and did not do miyun, then her tzara does chalitza, not yibum, because since the nisuin is not a nisuin min haTorah, so the chumra she has a din of tzaras erva, and therefore she's going to require chalitza because min haTorah she needs chalitza, but we're not going to let her do yibum because she's a tzaras erva on a Rabbanon level. So says Mara, well, wait a second. If Reuven's relative is only married midrabbanon to Shimon, and Shimon has other wives, and then Shimon dies, why don't we just tell Reuven's relative to do miyun now, and that will free up the whole situation? So then it will turn out that she was never married, that Shimon was never married to Reuven's relative, and then Reuven could do proper yibum on one of Shimon's wives. Vitimayin hashta v'tisyabim. Let them do yibum right. Let her do miyun right now. It will turn out she was never married to the deceased brother, and then Reuven will be able to do yibum on the other wives of Shimon, on one of the other wives of Shimon. So the Gemara says we'll bring a raya to our mishnah, Rabbi Shaya, to the sheet of Rabbi Shaya, because there's going to be a machlokas in many, many dapim from now on, daf kuv zayin amud aleph, about the din of miyun, where Beis Shammai holds that you could be mima'enes bebal v'lo b'yavam. We discussed this yesterday, that you're only allowed to do miyun on a husband, but once the husband died, you cannot do miyun just to the yavam to undo the marriage to the original husband. But Beis Hillel says you're mima'enes bein bebal bein b'yavam. And there's machlokas within the shita of the Beis Hillel, da amra b'shaya, mima'enes l'ma'amaro ve'ena mima'enes l'zikaso. That she could be mima'enes to the maimar of the yavam, that if, let's say, the yavam does kiddushe ma'amar, where it's not going to require a get, it just takes the maimar is undone by miyun, so she could do miyun on the brother that chose to give her kesef kiddushin. That's what we call maimer, and she goes back to the regular zika. But she can't do miyun on a zika, because miyun doesn't only helps to take away something that was done by a person, by a kiddushin that was by a connection that was generated by a person, like kiddushin or maimer. But it does not have the kalach to be mafkia a zika for yibum or chalitza that's done bidei shamayim. A zika that a person dies and there's an automatic zika that's created by shamayim, and that it does not have the capacity to undo. And therefore, she cannot be mutaris l'shuk without chalitza. And Ula disagrees and says it's mema enes af l'zikaso, and she becomes mutaris l'shuk by doing miyun without any chalitza, because the miyun uproots the nisuin of the first husband limafreya, and it turns out that there was never a zika. So from the fact that the Mishnah does not allow the tzara, is not matir the tzara unless the erva was mema'in while the husband was still alive, it's a riot, Rav Hoshaya, that even Beis Hillel will hold that you're not allowed to be mema'enes bezika. You can only be mema'enes on a maimer, because according to Ula, then Einachinami, she should be allowed to do miyun right now, and that will free up the yibum. Let them do yibum. So says Gemara, lo, it's not a raya. Really, she could be mema'enes even on a zika. And nevertheless, the miyun is not going to work to be matir the tzara to do yibum, because tzara's erva shiny. There's a gezeira that we don't allow a miyun of a katana in order to be matir the tzara to do yibum. To Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, because Rami Bar Yecheskel taught the following, we discussed this yesterday as well, that miyana bebal mutaris la'aviv. Let's say you have a girl that was married midrabanan to someone's son. Let's say you have Yaakov and Ruvain. So a girl was married midrabanan to Ruvain, and then she did miyun on Ruvain, so now she's going to be allowed to marry Yaakov, even though a person is normally not allowed to marry his daughter-in-law. Even after the son divorces the daughter-in-law or the son dies, you're not allowed to marry your daughter-in-law. Over here, she's being okered the kiddushin l'mafreya, so if she does miyun on Ruvain, she can go and marry Yaakov. But miyano biyavam. But let's say Yaakov had two sons. He had Ruvain and Shimon, and there was a kiddushin midrabanan between this girl and Ruvain, and then Ruvain died, and then she did miyun on Shimon. Now asura la'aviv. Now Yaakov is not going to be allowed to marry her, even though the miyun undid her in marriage entirely. She was never really married to Ruvain. But alma mishas nefila, from the fact that when Ruvain died, she had not yet done miyun, that already looks like it's a yibum situation. That already looks like there was some sort of zika nearest kikalaso, and therefore it looks like she's actually his daughter-in-law. So even though the miyun is okay, the kiddushin of Ruvain l'mafreya, it doesn't seem that way to people. People are going to think that miyun on a zikas hayavam is going to allow her to marry the father. So hachanami over here also, by tsaras bito mima'enes, his daughter was mima'enes, and now there's another wife that you want to do yibum on, even though in a chanami the miyun will uproot the marriage l'mafreya, but mishas nefila nearest kitsaras bito. For the just she seems like tsaras Bito, because when her original husband died, there was no miyun yet, so it looked like she had been married to the original husband. So therefore, it looks like a case of tzaras bito, and this is all midrabanan. Good. Now we're up to the second mishnah in the Masechta. So says the mishnah: Sheish arayos chamurus me'elu. There are six more arayos that are more chamur than the 15 that we mentioned in the first mishnah that are asur on the yavam and mutar to the other brothers. In these cases that we're going to mention, these six arayos are also to all the brothers. Now, if they're also to one, they're also to all of the brothers. In the case before we mentioned, let's say the cases in our Mishnah on Beis Amid Aleph, it was like Reuven's daughter was married to Shimon. So Reuven's daughter is allowed to marry Levi, is allowed to marry Yehuda, just not allowed to marry Reuven because it's his daughter. But there are six arayos where if she's usher to one of them, she's going to be usher to all of them. So sheish arayos chamuros me'elum neshin nesuos la'acherim, and since they're not allowed to be married to any of the brothers, they're only allowed to be married to acherim, they're never going to have a situation of yibum. So if they marry somebody else and there's another wife, and then he dies, even though they're usher be'isr erva tzaros se'en mutaros, the tzaros are going to be mutar to to one of the original brothers, because the halacha is that an erva only asrs a tzara b'makom yibum. But an erva, someone who's an erva to you, does not asr her other tzaras from ever being married to you. So if I have a relative, and that relative is married to a guy, and that guy is married to a bunch of other women as well, so when that guy dies, I'm allowed to marry one of his other wives, as long as I don't marry the relative. An erva doesn't asr the tzaras. It's only in a yibum situation. It's only where my relative was married to my brother that's going to create an issur of marrying the tzara. But if she just married some other guy and that other guy had other wives as well, there's no issur. Those tzaras are going to be mutter. What are these six arayos where we assume that there's an automatic issur on all of the brothers? Se'imo. If, first of all, his mother is his father's wife, and therefore it's a father's wife for all of them, because all the brothers are brothers that share the same father. And Eishes Aviv. And also Eishes Aviv, even if it's not his mother. V'achos Aviv. And also his father's sister. Achosome Aviv. And his sister from his father's side. V'eishes Achi Aviv. And the wife of his father's brother. V'eishes Achiv Me Aviv. And the wife of his brother from his father's side. So in all these cases, the mitzvah of Yibum is not going to apply, because the mitzvah of Yibum only applies to paternal brothers. But all of these are relatives of all of the paternal brothers. So since there's an Isser Kares for one of the brothers, Kiddushin is not going to be Tovson Chayve Krisus. It's an Isser Kares for all of the brothers. It can't be that there's going to be a Yibum situation. So if one of these women marries some other guy who's not related, and that other guy has other wives as well, and then that guy dies, so any of the brothers are allowed to marry any of those other wives. They have no connection to any of those wives. Erva doesn't automatically aser her tzaros. It's only in a yibum type situation that an erva is going to aser her tzaros. Now the Mishnah goes back to the din of tzaras erva that was mentioned in the Mishnah on Daf Beis. Right now that I know, okay, good, there are 15 arayos that they pater the tzaros. Then there are 6 arayos where you'll never have a situation that they're going to pater the tzaros from yibum, because it's never going to be a yibum situation. They're only going to be married to other people anyway. So when they're married to other people anyway, their tzaros are perfectly mutter. Now the Mishnah goes back to the din of tzaras erva, that Beis Shammai disagrees with the whole drasha that we had, that a tzaras erva is not allowed to do yibum. Beis Shammai matirin hatzaros la'achim. Whoa, changes everything. Beis Shammai says, everything we've been learning until now, it's all wrong. That a tzara is allowed to marry the brothers. There's no problem of a tzaras erva. Beis Hillel osrim, and Beis Hillel does not allow tzaras harayos, and based on Beis Hillel, we learned everything we learned until this point in time. Choltzu beshame posim in a kuna. If the tzaros arayos do chalitza, beshame will pass them from kuna, because midrabanan a chalutza is a din of a grusha, and she's not allowed to marry a kohen, just like a grusha is not allowed to marry a kohen. Ubesil makshirin, but Besil says that if a tzara did chalitza, she's allowed to marry a kohen, because you didn't need chalitza. The chalitza was a joke. The whole that she was potter from everything. She's a tzaras erva according to Besil. There was no need for any chalitza, so she'd be potter from anything. Thing, you know, so she would still be kasha lakuna nisiyabmu. If a tzara did, they had yibum with one of the brothers, Beishame Machshir. Beishame says, yeah, that's perfectly fine. She's allowed to marry a kohen after the yavam dies, because she was allowed to do yibum. Nothing inappropriate happened. Ubeisil posim. Beisil said, no, the tzaros that did yibum are going to be pasul lakuna, because l'shitas Beisil, they're asur to do yibum. It's tzaras erva. So therefore, she's going to ask her him bebia. He's going to ask her bebia to marry a kohen, because anyone who's nivela lepasula is considered a zona, and the halacha is that a kohen is not allowed to marry a zona. Pasuk says isha zona v'chalala lo yikachu. So because she's going to pasul lakuna if they try to do yibum. Then the Mishnah says afal pi she'elu osrim ve'elu matirim. Unbelievable. Even though Beshame Besila had this machlokas about yichus, about what's mutter, who you're mutter to marry, who you're aser to marry, elu poslin ve'elu machshirin, and one school of thought will pasul the tzaros lakuna, and the other ones will be machshir lakuna. Lo nimnu Beshame milisa nashim mi Besila lo Besila mi Beshame. The Beis Shammai never hesitated to do a shidduch with the Beis Hillel, nor vice versa. Even though, according to Beis Hillel, Tzara Serva is Asra and the Yavim as Nisra Eshesach, which is Nisra Karis, and anyone who's born from a relationship that's a Chiv Karis is a Mamzer and is Asra Lava Bakal, Beis Hillel was not Choshesh that the women from the Beis Shammai were born from such situations, because they trusted Beis Shammai would let them know if that was the situation. Beis Shammai would inform them, look, according to you, this girl is a mamzer. So this one we're going to keep in the family. We're going to keep in the Beis Shammai yeshiva. They trusted them to tell them, to let them know. You know, it was on the shidduch resume that not eligible for Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel knew that they could trust them to be forthcoming with that information. So therefore, they knew that they can marry women from the Beis Shammai. Not only that, similarly, kol ataros vatameos shayu elu matarim ve'elu matamin. Any taros and tameos that Beis Hillel was matarim, Beis Shammai was matame, lo nimnu asin taros elu al gavei elu, that they would trust Beis Shammai for the Beis Shammai would trust Beis Hillel's kelim, because Beis Hillel would lend their kelim to the Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai weren't worried that maybe these kelim, according to their own shita, are really tame, because Beis Hillel would of course be respectful and let the Beis Shammai know, right? If Sfardi invites you over to his house on Pesach, he's going to tell you that's kidneys. You shouldn't have that, and that's perfectly fine that he's allowed to eat kidneys as long as he tells me what's kidneys. I'll know what not to eat. I invite a chassid over, I'll tell him that's kibratz. Don't have that cake, and he'll know that he shouldn't have that which is gebrach. So that's how Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel operated. So the Gemara explains the machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, my time to Beis Shammai. Why does Beis Shammai allow a tzara to do yibum? D'chsiv lo siya eishes hameis hachutza liish zar. So the darshan hachutza is the yavama that is the chitzonis to the yavam. That's not a relative at all to the yavam. Chutza mechlal dika pnimis. Chutza implies that there's another one who is a relative to the yavam. Va'amar achmana losia, and the pasuk still says that there's an isra over here that she has a yibum situation. That there's a yibum chalitza situation. She can't just go get married, even though one of the other wives is related to the brother. Look at Rabbi Yudom Rav. They'll use the pasuk of achutza to teach me something else. Tam Rabbi Yudom Rav, what Rabbi Yudom Rav taught us is minayin shein kedushin tovsim biyavama. How do I know that if someone tries to marry a yavama that never had chalitza, that the kedushin is not going to work? See, normally by chayav elav in kedushin are tovsim. If a kohen marries a grusha, it's terrible. Lo saseh min haTorah. Asr midaraisa, but they're married, meaning it counts as a marriage. So how do I know that if a man dies and he has a wife, and the wife doesn't do anything with any of the brothers, she ignores it, and she goes and marries somebody else, that's a lo sase. How do I know that in that case, the kedushin is not even tofsin, she's not even married? Shemar lo siya eishes hameis hachutza liish zar. Lo siya ba havaya lizar. Lo siya means that she won't even have havaya, she won't even have kedushin with another person. It won't even work. Beis Shammai miksiv lachutz chutzaksiv. Beis Shammai says it doesn't say lusia lachutz. It says chutza, which sounds like she is a chitzona. Beis Hillel says no. They you're not going to take the pasuk out of its pasuk reading for on account of that. Kivin dechsiv chutza, kaman dechsiv lachutz dami. Chutza means the same thing as lachutz. They mean the same exact thing, and therefore you can't be medayik. The Tanya Rabbi Nechem Yomer called teva shetzri chalam bitchilasa hita lakasav hey besofa. Basic rule of diktuk that any time you need a lamed at the beginning of the word, you put a hey at the end of the word, and it means the same thing as having a lamed at the beginning of the word. And Rabbi Shmuel said, we find in Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim that you have such an idea, that when there's a lamed at the beginning of the word, a hey at the end of the word does the same thing. Kigon, Elim, when Bnei Yisrael came to a place called Elim, Pasuk says Elima. It says they came Elima. It means Le'elim. Machanaim, when David came to Machanaim, it says Machanaima. Mitzrayim, when Avram Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, so it says Mitzrayima. So, then also Divlasayima and Yerushalayima. So you have in Sefer Yecheskel and in Sefer Shmuel and in Chumash, you have all over the place that Lamed and in Divrei Yamim, you have all over the place that a lamed at the beginning could be replaced by a hey at the end. How does Beis Shammai know the din of Rabbi Yudom Amarav that kedushin is not going to be tovsin on a yavam l'shuk? He learns it from the pasuk l'ish zar. Zar, why doesn't Beis Hillel learn it from l'ish zar? In a chinami, chutz alamali l'rabas harusa. So in a chinami, Beis Hillel would learn it from l'ish zar, and chutz is teaching us something else. That even someone who was not did not have any suin to the deceased husband, was only in arusa to the deceased husband, she also has to face a yibum situation when her husband dies, because that's the mashmos of chutzah, a yivama who was a chutzah to her own husband. She was never even fully married to her own husband. She was only in arusa to her own husband, still has to face a yibum situation. generation, the idach, and Beishami would say mechutza ha-chutza, that you can make two drushes from chutza and ha-chutza, from the extra hay. The idach, and Beishami would respond, chutza ha-chutza, lo mashmulu, that there's no drusha to be made from chutza ha-chutza. Ravam tamay de Beishami, that the reason Beishami is matir tzaras ha-rayos is not midrasha, it's from a svara. Dein isr, chal al isr, that you can't have an isr, chal an existing isr. So the isr of other rayos cannot be chal, be together with the isr of Eishasach. It's only chal, only one isr could be one of those isurim could be chal. Says Martina, that would work if first the deceased brother married his wife and then she became usher to, let's say, Shimon married his wife, and as soon as Shimon married his wife, that woman became usher to Reuven as Eishas Achiv, and then Reuven married her sister. So in such a case, she's only usher Mishum Eishas Ach. So the erva is not going to be chal on the isra of Eishas Ach. But let's say Reuven got married first, so Reuven's wife's sister was already an erva to him, and then Racharkach nasa meis, and then Shimon married the sister. So then the erva would have been chal first. So what do you mean ein isra chal al isra? So says Gemara, the loss isra Eishas Ach mechayla isra achos isha. The Gemara answers, Kevan Delawasi, I'm sorry, Kevan, I skipped a word, that even in such a case, there's no room to pata the tzara, according to the Beis Shammai, because Kevan Delawasi Yisra Eshasach, B'chayel Yisra Chos Isha, there's no din of Eshasach at all. She's like a nachris to him, and she doesn't face a Yibum situation. Havila tzara serva, shalom b'makam mitzvah v'sharia. So it's like a tzara serva that's not in the case of a mitzvah where you're allowed to do Yibum, because an erva does not pata the tzara unless there's a nefila liyibum, but she's only nidcha because of the patur of erva. But if that doesn't exist, then there's not going to be a yibum situation at all. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots, and still trying to catch up over here. We'll get there. Okay.